Good morning, sisters and brothers. I want to take a second to introduce myself. My name is Skylar Rhodes, and I have the high privilege of being the pastor at Petaluma United Methodist Church. And you are now participating in our unique and really pretty wonderful worship podcast for April 25th, 2021, the fourth Sunday in Eastertide. So welcome to this unique experience. I want you to take your shoes off and relax and sing along, pray along, or just be quiet and listen. However you want to participate or receive this worship, it is here for you. And many people have given generously of their time and talents to make it happen. So I welcome you and celebrate with you this day the precious gift of new life in Christ Jesus. Let us begin as we call ourselves to worship.
Call to worship. We are called to this moment of beginning as we seek to live our lives together as a communal act of worship. Come, let us lay down our burdens. Come, let us open our hearts. Come, let us surrender our own point of view so that we might see what God would have us see. Come, let us worship God together. Call to confession. As we walk together into this time of prayer, let us release the things that hold us. Let us unbind the cords that tie us, and let us speak truth to our God as we confess our brokenness and our wounds, our anger and our cynicism, our fear and our doubt.
Join me in the prayer of confession. Holy God, we gather this day in prayer, mindful of our shortcomings, aware of our mistakes and our misdeeds. We confess, Holy Spirit, that we have not been the church you have called us to be. We have not given our whole selves to the wonder of the gospel. We have not done enough to serve the poor. We have sometimes let anger rather than love overtake us. And Lord, we participate too much in the sins of our world. Forgive us, we pray. Have mercy on us for our lack of courage and vision. Awaken us, we pray, for a new day of faithfulness, a new moment of hope. We ask this, we pray this, in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Assurance of pardon. Forgiveness breaks the cycle of wrong. Forgiveness is at the very core of our resurrection values. Forgiveness frees both the forgiven and the forgiver. In the name of Christ Jesus, we are indeed forgiven.
First scripture reading comes from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
The second scripture reading is from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that they may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he spent some time there with them and baptized. John also was baptized in Ainon, near Salim, because water was abundant there, and people kept coming and were baptized. John, of course, had not yet been thrown into prison.
I give you greetings in the name of Jesus Christ this day. Would you take a minute and pray with me as we prepare to unpack the sacred text? Let's pray. Gracious and wonderful God, we give you the thanks and you the glory that we are assembled even in this odd and unique way in this day. God, help us to treasure the precious gift of community. Help us to unwrap that gift with joy, with glee, and with abundant care. And in this moment, as the sacred text is searched, may the meditations of our common heart and the word of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, God. For you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. You and you alone are the one to whom we owe our allegiance. Amen. So, I wanted to ask today if anyone here has ever known someone who, well, was pretty good at talking the talk. I mean, they could do that really well. But when it came to walking the walk, well, let's just say they were underperforming in that department. You know anyone like that? Well, over the years, I have to confess that indeed I've known some folks who were like that. I remember a local politician years ago who campaigned on honesty and transparency, and soon after the election it was discovered that he was pilfering funds from the Treasury. I'm sure some of you can recall such circumstances in your own lives. I mean, I remember, too, working with some folks who were organizing in the community to try to get a grocery store in this impoverished neighborhood. A worthy cause, and one which I worked hard to support, but the folks who were organizing were whipping up fear in the community rather than just telling the truth about how important it is for every neighborhood to have adequate services. And then there was a time someone sold me some insurance, and it was a family member, and policy turned out to be nothing at all as it was represented. I could go on, and I'm sure you could join me. It's no secret, right, that there's dishonesty in the world. It's no secret that there are those who lie, those who manipulate, who seek to take advantage, to even do harm. No, we've learned this in our private and public lives, haven't we? But I would like us today to focus not so much on the broad landscape of where folks have let us down or disappointed us because of their inability to be truthful or authentic. I'd like us to focus not on the failure of some folks, and even sometimes ourselves, to be real, to be honest, to be people of integrity, truth, and love. Let us instead today, let us really hear the writer of this scripture from 1 John calling us to a new and deeper authenticity. Let us hear the gospel nudging, pushing, cajoling us to love not merely with words, but with truth and action. I mean, really, most of us know the words, don't we? You know? We know what to say and when to say it. But sometimes to live out these words in truth and action can be really challenging. I remember being caught short in one of the churches I was serving when a parent was yelling at their child saying, "Don't do what I do, do what I say." Now, I'm really not trying to be funny here, because this is no walk in the park. It's one thing to get down the pattern and the language of faith, and it is quite another to live it out in the fullness of each and every day. I mean, really, think about it. We follow a faith where we are called to love our enemies, and I'll sing a song about this during the offertory, but really? Love our enemies? That's kind of a tall order. We're called to forgive people who have wronged us, not just once or twice, but 70 times 7. We're called to do no harm at all, and yet, who among us has not succumbed to our anger or said or did things that were counter to the love of God? We're called to lay down our lives for our friends, for our community members, even for perfect strangers. We are called to love not merely with words, but with truth and action. And friends, I want to be clear. I'm not here today to judge or ridicule. I'm not here to scold or shake a shaming finger. No, that's not my style. What I'm here to do today is to rally us together under the banner of love. I'm calling us to be clear with ourselves about how difficult this all really is, and then to have us reach out to support one another as we love the unlovable, as we serve the poor, even if we think they don't deserve it. You see, the call we receive in the gospel is not a call to be somehow religious or, as John would say, to merely love with our words. We are called to the depths of authenticity that pulls forth from us the amazing capacity to forgive, to heal, to build up rather than tear down, and to be the hands and the hearts of Jesus for a world that is right now in a great deal of pain. The path of loving in truth and action is before us. It beckons us. It invites. It reaches out to us. And as Christian community, in this new time, we are called more than ever to new heights of self-giving love, to new lengths of patience and acceptance, to new horizons of what it means to be the church. And, you know, I know that this pandemic, oh, it's left many of us, and I'm including myself here, just wanting things to go back to normal. And yesterday, or Friday rather, during Pastor's Coffee Hour on Zoom, we made a list of the hymns that we cannot wait to sing when once again we worship in our sanctuary. And I added a couple titles myself. I miss singing in community, don't you? But the truth is, this pandemic has left us in a place where we actually need to look at normal and ask ourselves if normal is where we are. Is normal supposed to be the place we're headed for in these times? Was normal all that great? I mean, for half a century, the Church of the United States has been on the decline. Is that normal? Do we want to return to that? I don't think so. Could it be that we might need to back away from what we have thought of as normal and begin thinking about how we are to be a faith community that people cannot wait to be a part of? Could it be that we need to take an up-close look at what it means to love in truth and action? Maybe if we do this check-in with normalcy, we might discern a beginning place in seeking out people who are in pain. I mean, not just writing a check, but us seeking out being in relationship. Reaching out to people who are marginalized, people who the world calls illegal. Can you believe? Some people are called illegal because they lack documentation. No human beings illegal? Could it be that we can build a new understanding of what it means to be a truly open and accepting faith community? I mean, let's ask ourselves, friends, what, as vaccinations roll out and hopefully numbers of infections drop, what, as we begin to dream of moving past this pandemic, what, as we look forward to an end to social distancing, what will it look like for us to love not merely with words, but truth in action? I think the first part of this has to do with the truth thing. I mean, you know, it's no secret we've been assaulted for some time now by all kinds of energy that wants us to believe that right and wrong is just a matter of opinion, that the truth is whatever some ranting scoundrel tells us it is. You know, I've heard of late a number of news outlets in the media saying that their reporting is, and I quote, fair and balanced. Well, you know, it's journalism, folks. I don't want it to be fair or balanced. I want them to uncover the truth. That, to me, means that they won't cater to people of all opinions. Just tell us the truth. And truth is not always fair or balanced. Now, it's true that people of color are being hit much more badly by this pandemic than white folks. If we love and truth in action, what do we do about that? It's true that the leading cause of death in young black men is gunshot wounds in this country. And if we love and truth in action, how do we respond to this? The words from the gospel this day reach out to embrace us with a loving reminder that we have been given the high, high privilege of loving everyone. That's right, everyone. That loving in truth and action means confronting some of those things about which we have remained silent, and even some of those things in our own lives. And friends, you know this as well as I do. I'm not telling you something you don't know. But who are the people who we lift up in our faith tradition? They're the ones who don't just talk about love, but give their lives to it in truth and action. They're the ones who put others before themselves. They are the Martin Luther King Jr.'s, the Sojourner Truth, the Dorothy Day, the St. Francis. They are the ones who have given their lives freely to the cause of love, the agenda of justice. So here we are on this day, this 25th day of April. Somewhere close, someone is waiting for us to love them in truth and action. Here we are, worshiping in podcast on the front lawn and through video, and somewhere close, someone is in pain and needing God's love as it comes through our hands and hearts. Here we are, thinking about the future of the church, and I say, and I want to say this loud and clear, let our future be built on the foundation stones of the persistent, joyful work of loving in truth and action. Friends, let our days from here on out be crowded with compassion, jammed with justice, filled with faith, and spread out so that the world can see that we love, not only in words, but in truth and action. Thanks be to God for this marvelous church, and thanks be to God for the gift of ministry. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and marvelous God, God who comes to us in the person of Jesus, we give you thanks today that you have called us together to be your people. We give you thanks today that you have given us the ministry of truth and action, of love lived out. We give you the thanks that you have provided us with such wonderful partners on this journey, the members of this faith community, members that we yet to know, members who are all around us. And God, as we strive to be the church in new ways in a new day, we continue to be beset by the things that have beset people since the beginning of time, God, there are those among us who are in pain, suffering the torturous feelings of grief as we have worked to figure out how to get along with someone who we loved who has passed on. Lord, we are, some of us, suffering from illness and even from this COVID-19 virus. And there are those of us who wrestle with health issues of many, many kinds. And we pray for healing and we pray for courage on this journey. And God, there are those of us too who are broken and living in the midst of brokenness. And we pray for healing and wholeness. We pray for a ceaseless stream of healing energy to come from your Holy Spirit so that all those among us who struggle, all those among us who are in pain, all those among us who wake up some mornings wondering how to just make a pot of coffee, God, we struggle, all of us. And so we invite your Spirit to come to this church today. We invite your Spirit to flow anew, to be poured out on each person, on everyone, so that we might awaken with a resurrection perspective, that we might awaken to look beyond what we think is normal and to claim a new and fresh power, the power of hope, a new beginning, the power of new life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's in his name we pray, in his name we move and have our lives. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami melo malangi, me varoro taikine damuni, me adamaina nomuni matintu, me dagana lo mamuni burbura, me pakasa daga melo malangi. Nisile me viki mami nisingongo na kakane rutiki mami. Nimbukoda manda nineme miradala, me pakaki mami sambukoda, were sa daga dala viki mami. Nikaku nikotiki mami gine vere, kamuni vambuli ke mami mene da, nisa nomuni na matinitu. Kena kaukaua, kena langilangi, asangani mundu. Amen.
My friends, we come to the time in our worship where we pause to give thanks to God by returning gifts and offerings and tithes for the work of ministry. We know, those of us in faith, we know that everything we have comes from God. And God invites us to return but a portion to the community of faith so that we might together continue the good work of loving in truth and action. You may write a check to the church. There's a number of ways to give. Write your check and drop it by and put it in the mail slot at the office. You can mail it to the church at 410 D Street in Petaluma, California. You can even go on our website and find our online giving process. And now we have a new way of giving by text. And I encourage you to look in today's bulletin to discover that. However it is, I just want to thank you for your generosity as we reach to revive and revitalize, as we reach past this current crisis to the resurrection day. Thank you again for your generosity and your joy.
Thank you.
Hear this prayer. Lord, we dedicate the gifts that we give this day to the work to be done in your service, the work to be done of putting love into action, the work to be done of being a patient, persistent, healing presence in Petaluma and across the world. And we dedicate these gifts that we might go forward and do more and be more and live more fully in the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear these words of benediction. As we go this day to busy lives, if we turn off the computer or go wherever it is we go, may the power of embodied love go with you. May we rise from mere words about our beliefs to lives given in living out truth and action. And may we go fully aware that we are accompanied by a wonderful Savior who rose from the dead, that we might all choose new life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.